This is Bill Brenner for SearchSecurity.com. You're listening to Security Wire Weekly for October 17, 2007. This week, Paul Henry of Secure Computing warns of a new threat to companies with VoIP and Web 2.0 functionality. And a researcher questions the quality of a recent security update for AOL Instant Messenger. We begin with a pile of patches Oracle released Tuesday as part of its quarterly critical patch update, or CPU. The database giant released patches for more than a dozen critical vulnerabilities that could be exploited remotely to gain access to sensitive data. In all, the company released 51 security fixes across hundreds of its products. Among them are 27 fixes for the Oracle Database 10G and 9i, five of which may be exploited remotely without the need for a username or password. The fixes address flaws in the core relational database management system, SQL execution, Oracle Database Vault, and advanced queuing. Next, the newly released AOL Instant Messenger 6.5 closes a security hole attackers could have used to run malware on targeted computers. But one researcher warns that the core vulnerability has yet to be fixed. Israeli vulnerability researcher Aviv Raf said he tested the newest version of the popular IM application against AIM vulnerabilities he and researchers at Core Security Technologies warned about last month. AIM 6.5 fixes the specific attack vector of the vulnerability, he said, but it doesn't incorporate the local zone lockdown he believes is needed. This means that if someone finds another way to inject a script to a message, it will still be possible to execute arbitrary code from remote locations, he said. We'll be back after this message.
Mergers and acquisitions are common in today's rapidly changing business market. And before long, M&A activity will almost certainly have an effect on your organization's enterprise security. Don't be caught by surprise. Start preparing today by checking out SearchSecurity.com's Corporate Mergers and Acquisitions Learning Guide. Experts like Michael Cobb and Ed Skotis offer advice on how to successfully integrate compliance efforts, merge network security policies, defend disparate web application infrastructures, and much more. Master the policy practices and people problems of post-merger security. Check out the Corporate Mergers and Acquisitions Learning Guide today. Visit SearchSecurity.com and search for Mergers and Acquisitions. You'll be glad you did.
There's a potential new method to gain control of a user's PC using an XSS attack via the VoIP protocol known as SIP, Secure Computing warned this week. Such an XSS attack would allow hackers to run their malware on any user's PC via their VoIP connection. Joining me to discuss this is Secure Computing VP of Technology Evangelism, Paul Henry.
What makes it precarious is a lot of people today run a SIP client on their desktop to be able to handle their voicemail in a typical VoIP system. Mm-hmm. In doing so, it opens up that PC via the SIP protocol and cross-site scripting to downloading and executing malware. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the major concerns I have is few organizations do any protection at all of the SIP protocol. They're not looking at traffic that's entering their network via SIP. So this is a very good vehicle for entry for the bad guys.
Now, is this something you can be vulnerable to if you're, for example, using Skype on your laptop?
No, the potential is there. Although I have not yet seen Skype impacted with cross-site scripting. Mm-hmm. There have been a couple of Skype Trojans in the last year,
right,
but I haven't seen a cross-site scripting attack for Skype to date. Skype uses a proprietary SSL protocol, so it would be very difficult to inject something into Skype.
Who's using SIP primarily?
enterprise-wide. I'm seeing SIP really taking off here over the last couple of years. In fact, for the first time last year, the number of new installs for VoIP exceeded those for traditional PBX within the U.S.
Right.
And SIP, of course, is one of the more popular protocols used for VoIP.
Mm-hmm. Now, so if you're an enterprise IT administrator and you have a robust Web 2.0 environment and you're using VoIP, what is some of the advice that you would offer them to mitigate the kind of risks you're seeing out there?
You know, you absolutely have to inspect all traffic that's entering the network, including traffic over SIP. Now, you have to be somewhat cautious with that because of the performance issues associated with VoIP. You don't want to degrade performance, but there are solutions today that provide what's referred to as anti-malware scanning that will actually watch the data stream looking for ActiveX, JavaScript, and other scripts that may have malicious intent.
Now, VoIP security in general, I've talked to a lot of security experts in the last couple of years who have voiced concern that enterprises are rolling out VoIP far too quickly without addressing some of the potential security implications. I've heard the same kind of concerns raised about Web 2.0 features. Ajax is one that comes to mind. Do you think, obviously now you're seeing one of the first examples of how VoIP can be exploited to go after the Web 2.0 environment, but are you seeing any security improvements that we can call a silver lining here?
Actually, no. The issue today primarily is the theft of VoIP. And the hacker then reselling your VoIP minutes. There was a case in South Florida here in the last year where $1 million worth of VoIP minutes were stolen and resold. Literally, the hacker opened up his own VoIP communication company and was selling the organization he hacked VoIP minutes. That is a major problem. We're seeing it still snowballing, we'll say. Again, it's primarily because no one is addressing the security needs associated with VoIP. You know, they're moving to VoIP to save dollars, et cetera, and security is just not part of the equation to date.
Right.
Now, on the Web 2.0 side, unfortunately, we're pretty much seeing the same thing. You know, organizations have not yet addressed the use of new Web 2.0 services within their security policies. And, of course, because it's not in the policy, there's no technical safeguard to back up those policies.
That's it for this week. The latest information security news is always available as it breaks on our news page at searchsecurity.com/news. You can also catch our Security Wire weekly podcasts featuring summaries of the latest news and interviews with security professionals at searchsecurity.com/podcast. Again, I'm Bill Brenner. As always, thanks for listening.